see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. So pour out your power and love as we sing, holy.
Welcome to New Covenant's online service. This is Pastor Renee Antrosio, delighted to welcome a special guest teacher today who grew up in our fellowship and has gone out into the world with the message of love learned here in our midst, returning to us from Chicago with a timely message for our community. It is a joy to see God at work in the lives of our young people, to witness God's faithfulness from generation to generation. And yet, as I read the lectionary scriptures in Matthew 13 this week, where Jesus returns to his hometown to teach, I am reminded of how easy it is to get stuck on thinking we know a person. After all, they grew up here. We know their parents, their siblings, the vocation they trained for. When Jesus came to his hometown, he taught the people in their synagogue. They were surprised and said, "Where did he get this wisdom? Where did he get the power to work miracles?" Isn't he the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother named Mary? Aren't James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas his brothers? And his sisters, aren't they here with us? Where did this man get all this? They were repulsed by him and fell into sin. But Jesus said to them, prophets are honored everywhere, except in their own hometowns and in their own households. He was unable to do many miracles there because of their disbelief. So today, I urge us to open ourselves to the message the Spirit is speaking through Anna, not to get stuck like the people of Nazareth did on where she came from or who we think we know her to be, but rather to honor her as one of our own prophetic voices and to be open to the miracles the Holy Spirit might do among us as we trust that God has a message of wisdom for us today. And now, may you hear Jesus' words from John 15, verses 9 through 17, as spoken to you, to us, for our encouragement and entrance into what God has for us today. As the Father loved me, I too have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy will be in you, and your joy will be complete. This is my commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than to give up one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I don't call you servants any longer because servants don't know what their master is doing. Instead, I call you friends because everything I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you could go and produce fruit, and so that your fruit could last. As a result, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. I give you these commandments so that you can love each other. Indeed, may the songs, scriptures, prayers, and message increase our love for each other, our love for God, and the expression of that love to our world. Welcome to worship.
What? What is this love? What is this love that will not let me go? That has a hold upon my soul that I can't break. What is this love? What is this love that won't let loose of me? What is this love? What is this love that will not let me go? That has a hold upon my soul that I can't break. What is this love?
Name, and I am yours. Good morning. My name is Joyce Mast. I'm a longtime New Covenanter here to tell you about and ask for your prayers for a peacemaking trip. New Covenanters have been involved with peacemaking over the years, including many who have participated in protests. During the 1980s, Marty Shupek, a New Covenant pastor at the time, and I were part of a Witness for Peace accompaniment delegation to Nicaragua during the Iran-Contra affair. We met with local and government leaders and parishioners. On our return to the U.S., we spoke about our experiences and, through a benefit concert, raised money for our water purifiers, a need identified by local mayors. From August 10 through 18, I will participate with the Community Peacemakers Team, CPT, delegation, Turtle Island, Unmasking and Dismantling Settler Colonialism. Turtle Island is a term commonly used by Indigenous people and anti-colonial activists to refer to the continent known as North America. The origin of the term can be found in creation stories of the Anishinaabeg. CPT's mission is to build partnerships to transform violence and oppression where CPT works. The violence CPT and their partners experience is rooted in systemic oppression. Our delegation consists of two female leaders who have had accompaniment work in Colombia and Palestine, two pastors, a female Presbyterian from Tennessee and a male from Toronto, two Jewish students, and myself. Delegates have prepared by studying how Canada has confiscated Indigenous peoples' lands for the purpose of capitalism. We will meet with Native leaders, beginning with a political justice tour in Winnipeg, followed by visits to Kenora, Grassy Narrows, and a residential site. At Grassy Narrows, thousands of Indigenous people have sickened and died due to mercury poisoning in the rivers, resulting from clear-cutting forests by paper mills. We'll spend 2 days there, including attending a powwow. I would appreciate your prayers for peacemaking within our delegation, with Indigenous people and others at the sites we visit, and when we share our findings and advocacy on our return home. Thank you.
Sister, let me be your servant. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I might have the grace to let you be my servant.
Speak the peace you long to. 1 Peter 5, 1-11. Therefore, I have a request for the elders among you. I ask this as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, and as one who shares in the glory that is about to be revealed. I urge the elders, like shepherds, tend the flock of God among you. Watch over it. Don't shepherd because you must, but do it voluntarily for God. Don't shepherd greedily, but do it eagerly. Don't shepherd by ruling over those entrusted to your care, but become examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive an unfading crown of glory. In the same way, I urge you who are younger, accept the authority of the elders, and everyone, clothe yourselves with humility toward each other. God stands against the proud, but he gives favor to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under God's power, so that he may raise you up in the last day. Throw all your anxiety onto God, because God cares about you. Be clear-headed, keep alert. Your accuser, the devil, is on the prowl like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Do so in the knowledge that your fellow believers are enduring the same suffering throughout the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, the one who called you into his eternal glory in Jesus the Messiah, will himself restore, empower, strengthen, and establish you. To him be power forever and always. Amen.
Hidden from sight, we affirm and believe the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us, bearing us through every loss we may grieve. The Lord is with us. The Lord. The Lord is with us. With might to protect us, with strength to defend us, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us, with wisdom to guide us, with peace to refresh us, the Lord is with us. The river's too wide, but the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. Oh, we're surrounded on every side. The Lord is with us. The Lord. The Lord is with us. With might to protect us. With strength to defend us, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us, with wisdom to guide us, with peace to refresh us. The Lord is with us. God's thoughts are not like the thoughts that we think. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. High as the heavens and deeper than deep. The Lord is with us. The Lord. The Lord is with us. With might to protect us. With strength to defend us, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us, with wisdom to guide us, with peace to refresh us. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. With love to enfold us,
with joy to crown us. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us this day and this night, now and forever. The Lord is with us now and forever. The Lord is with us.
Good morning, New Covenant. Thank you so much to Pastor Renee for inviting me to speak today, and you all for having me. It is a joy to be back in this congregation with you all just for the day, and I'm delighted to share this moment with you. Could we start by taking a breath together? Breathe in. Breathe out. The letter that my friend Charlie read, thank you, Charlie, written by Peter, probably, scholars disagree, and immortalized by thousands in our collection of sacred texts, begins with an introduction to the audience. 1 Peter chapter 1 is addressed to God's chosen strangers. I love this language because, in a thousand ways, we are strangers. Despite having known some of you and this congregation for the vast majority of my life, there is much that we do not know about each other. Our author understands the barrier to trust that comes from a lack of familiarity with each other's culture, and they acknowledge this right off the bat. They continue to set up their letter with gratitude for the opportunity that they share with those who will receive this piece of writing. In this time, much like in our time, there is great need for change. There is a great need for hope and for deep and consistent effort in order to make a more just and more beautiful world. That kind of work is hard enough, and as we are all aware, takes much, much longer than we would like. Beyond being strangers, we are also simply mortal. We live lives that are often much too short and much too painful. The author of 1 Peter knows this too, and later in chapter 1 reminds their readers of the words of Isaiah. All human life on the earth is like grass, and all human glory is like a flower in a field. The grass dries up, and its flower falls off, but the Lord's word endures forever. 1 Peter 1:24 through 25. This acknowledgement of our temporary nature heads off the second easy excuse of those who are rightfully afraid of what it will cost and how much impact it might actually have to dedicate our brief lives to something as important and radical as being the engines of social change. It is terrifying to imagine devoting a lifetime of energy to resisting something that feels inevitable, that feels as powerful as an empire. Peter and Isaiah, I imagine, are both also considering David's words. The days of a human life are like grass. They bloom like a wild flower, but when the wind blows through it, it is gone. Even the ground where it stood doesn't remember it. But the Lord's faithful love is from forever ago to forever from now for those who honor him. Psalm 103, 15, 17. I hear a similar message in a word of wisdom from the prophetic teacher and writer Robin Wall Kimmerer in her book, Braiding Sweetgrass. She writes, towards the end of a collection of guidelines for how to be in loving and reciprocal relationship with the earth, sustain the ones who sustain you, and the earth will last forever. Robin Wall Kimmerer, page 183 in Braiding Sweetgrass. What does it mean to be God's chosen strangers, other than we have accepted an invitation to be a temporary witness to an eternal truth? The abundance of the natural world that we have been given is as manifest and real an experience of God's love as I have ever known. What does it matter how long we might get to live if we dedicate at least some of that time to loving our neighbors, our human neighbors, and those who make up our ecosystem? At the close of his letter, the section that Charlie read for us, Peter makes this request. In service of loving our neighbor, Peter asks that elders shepherd their communities. He asks that they offer their wisdom and guidance not out of obligation, but out of love. He instructs the elders to eagerly pass along what they have learned to the following generations. In turn, he asks that the youth listen to the authority that the elders have to offer. He immediately asks after that that everyone clothe themselves with humility. The concept of authority is a tricky one throughout context and culture. In following his instruction to respect the authority of elders with a call towards humility, he is gently reminding both youth and elder that there is plenty to teach each other and plenty more to learn. He closes his letter with a call for solidarity between fellow people, asking them to trust that they do not suffer alone. The entire missive of 1 Peter is a call to solidarity. It is instruction to these groups of strangers, asking them to share what they have and to do it with eagerness, generosity, and humility. He is asking specifically for them to share lessons and wisdom, not just material resources. This is the same solidarity we are called to now. In this moment, our enemy, the human beings who wake up, draw breath, and choose to oppress and exploit other human beings, are working tirelessly to divide us from ourselves. Through questions of gender, race, sexuality, faith, ethnicity, immigration status, and more, we are being taught that our neighbor is our enemy. You, or I, or most people I imagine that we will all meet in our lives, are not our enemy. What most people we meet are, often, is annoying, frustrating, confusing, even harmful. The gospel reading today from John's account of the life of Christ is a rich and moving message. Jesus says to his disciples hours before his execution by the state that it is love that will deliver them. He commands them to love each other as I have loved you. This is a call to solidarity that I imagine is part of what inspires the writer of Peter to make a similar call in his letter to God's chosen strangers. At the risk of overstating my point, this is messy work. This kind of love, this kind of solidarity, does not often feel good. The other night at a party, I made a joking comment about two people with beards, calling them as a pair, boys. Only one of them felt respected by that comment. The other did not. It felt weird. I felt bad. And I pressed on. We, you, I, will make choices in our endless effort to try and love well where people end up feeling hurt. The call is not to perfection. Our call is to a kind of love that has the capacity to rebuild. When Jesus says to his disciples, "There is no greater love than to give up one's life for one's friends," it is a message with a dual meaning. He is speaking to his coming betrayal and execution, his approaching martyrdom. He is also trying to teach a lesson we continue to miss. As he awaits his coming murder, Jesus offers his disciples the salvation we continue to yearn for. The choice to offer his own life as a sacrifice is a demonstration of his love. I have come to understand the crucifixion and resurrection as a choice made to set down power. It is someone who could have enforced equity through divine intervention, instead offering us the opportunity to create and practice that equity. Through Jesus, God is asking us to love each other and praying that we will try. And knowing that the work is messy and full of mistakes, Jesus is freeing us from our own crucifixion. He is enduring our punishment in order to open a door towards forgiveness, that we might learn to set aside punishing ourselves and each other in favor of understanding. This kind of radical social change, from punishment to collaboration, is the kind of thing that the writer of 1 Peter knows is exhausting. And yet our author is calling back to this message of Jesus giving explicit instructions on what it means to love each other. When Jesus tells his disciples to give up one's life for one's friends, the martyrdom message is clear. What I find to be worth digging a little bit deeper for is that while alive, they can orient themselves towards each other, to prioritize their relationships over their impulses. He is calling back in a way to Isaiah and to David, who in their writings about the temporary nature of human life both choose to mention the flower, the bloom. These lives that are so short continue because of how we spend our time as flowers. What we do with our lives matters, and it is but a piece of the internal flow of life-giving love. As we continue to survive and resist the onslaught of authoritarian rule, I invite you to help me practice this kind of love. It is a love I struggle with. This is the kind of love that learns how to say and be told no. It is the kind of love that learns how to give without depleting and receive without taking. The kind of love Jesus invites us towards is the kind of love that persists beyond the annoyance, the inevitable friction of sharing humanity. We need to learn and practice and fail and practice again the kind of love that tries over and over. We need to get to know our neighbors, to cultivate our curiosity into attitudes of compassion that outweigh reactionary judgment. We need to live lives of love for our friends. This is the effort that will bring heaven onto earth. It is the ultimate call of Christ's life and work, and is the solidarity that the author of 1 Peter asks us to show each other. True, deep, real love that is rooted in compassion and emotional generosity. Take another deep breath with me. Breathe in. Breathe out. I love you. Amen.
Please join me in our closing prayer. Creator of the universe, you made the world in beauty and will restore all things in glory. Guide us in the path of discipleship so that, as you have blessed us, we may be a blessing for others, bringing the promise of the kingdom near by our words and our deeds. Amen.
Oh,